The Odyssey, Book 9, translated by A.S. Klein. Reading 1, lines 1 through 62. Odysseus tells his tale, the Chicones. Resourceful Odysseus answered the king, saying, "Lord Alcinous, most illustrious of men, it is a fine thing, in truth, to hear a bard such as this with a godlike voice. I say myself there is nothing more delightful than when all the people feel this joy, and the banqueters sit in their rows, listening to the minstrel in the hall, tables in front of them laden with meat and bread, while the steward pours wine from the bowl and carries it round and fills the cups. It seems the loveliest thing of all to me. But your heart prompts you to ask of my sad troubles, and make me weep and groan the more. How shall I start and end my tale? First, let me give you my name, so you all know, and if I escape from pitiless fate later, I will play host to you, though I live far off. I am Odysseus, Laertes' son, known to all for my stratagems, and my fame has reached the heavens. My home is under Ithaca's clear skies. Our Mount Neriton, clothed with whispering forest, is visible from afar, and clustered round it are many isles, Dulichium and Same, and wooded Zacanthus. Ithaca itself lies low in the sea, furthest towards the west, while the others are separate, towards the dawn and the rising sun. It's a rugged land, but nurtures fine young men, and speaking for myself, I know nothing sweeter than one's own country. Calypso, the lovely goddess, kept me there in her echoing caves because she wished me for her husband, and in the same way Circe, the Aeaean witch, detained me in her palace, longing to make me hers. But they failed to move my heart. Surely nothing is sweeter than a man's own parents and country, even though he lives in a wealthy house, in a foreign land far from those parents. But let me tell you of my sad voyage back from Troy that Zeus had willed. The wind carried me from Ilium to Ismarus, city of the Chicones. I sacked the city and slew the men, and the women and riches we split between us, so that as far as I could determine, no man lacked an equal share. Then, as you might imagine, I ordered us to slip away quickly, but my foolish followers wouldn't listen. They drank the wine and slaughtered many sheep and shambling cattle with twisted horns. Meanwhile, the Chicones rounded up others, their neighbors further inland, more numerous and braver, men skilled at fighting their enemies from chariots and on foot as needed. At dawn they came, as many as the leaves and flowers of the spring, and disaster sent by Zeus overtook us, doomed as we were to endless trouble. Drawing up their ranks by the swift ships, they fought us, each side hurling bronze-tipped spears at the other. Through that morning, while the sacred light grew stronger, we held our ground and kept their greater force at bay. But as the sun fell, at the time when oxen are unyoked, the Chicones succeeded in routing the Achaeans, and six of my well-armored comrades died from each ship. But the rest of us cheated death and evil fate. Lines 63 through 104. The Lotus Eaters. From Ismarus we sailed, with heavy hearts for the loyal friends lost, though happy to have escaped death ourselves. Nor would I let the curved ships leave till we had called three times in ritual to each of our luckless comrades, who died there on the plain at the hands of the Chicones. But Zeus, the cloud-gatherer, stirred the north wind against our ships in a blinding tempest, hiding the land and sea alike in cloud, while darkness swept from the sky. Headlong the ships were driven, sails torn to shreds by the force of the gale. In terror of death, we lowered the masts on deck and rowed the vessels wildly towards land. There we stayed for 2 days and nights, troubled at heart with weariness and grief. But when dawn of the lovely tresses gave birth to the third day, we upped masts, hoisted the white sails, and took our seats aboard, and the wind and helmsman kept us on course. Now, I would have reached home safely, but as I was rounding Cape Malea, the north wind and waves and the ocean currents beat me away off course, past Cythera. For 9 days I was driven by fierce winds over the teeming sea. But on the 10th we set foot on the shores of the lotus eaters, who eat its flowery food. On land we drew water, and my friends ate by the ships. Once we had tasted food and drink, I sent some of the men inland to discover what kind of human beings lived there, selecting two and sending a third as herald. They left at once and came upon the lotus eaters, who had no thought of killing my comrades, but gave them lotus to eat. Those who ate the honey-sweet lotus fruit no longer wished to bring back word to us or sail for home. They wanted to stay with the lotus eaters, eating the lotus, forgetting all thoughts of return. I dragged those men back to the shore myself by force, while they wept, and bound them tight in the hollow ships, pushing them under the benches. Then I ordered my men to embark quickly on the fast craft, fearing that others would eat the lotus and forget their homes. They boarded swiftly and took their place on the benches, then, sitting in their rows, struck the gray water with their oars.